It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Glass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Happy, happy, happy January 25th, 2012. Time marches on, and here in New York City, it is a beautiful, clear, very unlike winter day. It's like autumn keeps going on, and it's really delicious. Can't help but take advantage of it and be outside. But I'm inside right now, and I'm talking about my favorite subject, food, and it's going to be a very, very sweet, yummy show. I hope you've eaten, because if you haven't, you might start salivating sometime soon, and that can be dangerous. But I hope you have some great things to reach for if you do start wanting to feed your face. Anyway, the beautiful thing about plant-based foods, not only are they nourishing and gentle on the planet and kind to the animals, but after decade of different people getting involved with making great things out of plant-based foods, we are finally on par, I think, with every other great cuisine that's out there, and that's really exciting. And I think the thing that vegans do best is make desserts. We're going to talk a little bit about that, or a lot about that, in the next half hour with Hannah Kaminsky. Now, she began playing in the kitchen at a very young age, encouraged by her drive to create accessible and delicious animal-free eats. By her senior year of high school, she was already busy working on her first cookbook, a vegan dessert book titled My Sweet Vegan. Now, Hannah is the author of two vegan dessert books, an award-winning blog, and a handful of e-books. Hear Vegan Mainstream Dishes with Hannah about blogging, baking, and her newest project, a vegan ice cream book titled Vegan a la Mode. Welcome to It's All About Food, Hannah Kaminsky.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to be here.
Thank you. And how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. I wanted to wish you a happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
I was reading your very beautiful, delicious, salivating-making blog, and I had read the post about your birthday, so I wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
I appreciate it. It was a quiet one, but nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that I appreciate, one of the great things when you're good at making desserts is, at least for me anyway, I tend to make my own cakes. And that's kind of a nice gift to yourself when you can make exactly what you want for you. Now, it says in the brief bio that I read that you got involved at a young age in the kitchen, and I can certainly tell that by reading your cookbook and the stories that you tell. Was anyone else in your family interested in cooking?
Well, my mom cooks, but nothing beyond the standard everyday meal kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of, you know, encouraged me to bake and help out when I was much younger. But it was just up to me to make decent meals for myself, so I took that opportunity to really hone my skills.
And the vegan thing, when did that start for you?
I became vegan when I first became a freshman at high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was exposed to all these new people who were vegetarian, and I thought, that was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I went vegetarian for about a month, and then finally did research about it and realized, oh, my God,
yeah,
it's so much worse to be vegetarian in many ways. And I just went vegan from there.
Yeah, it's definitely an oh, my God, epiphany experience when the veil is lifted, isn't it?
Yeah, just can't look back.
And your parents were okay with that?
Well, they were really hesitant at first, as any parent would be concerned about their kids getting proper nutrition.
Where are you going to get your protein?
I know, that was a big one, of course. But they they helped me. They brought me to a nutritionist to make sure that I was doing it the right way.
Uh-huh.
And basically the deal was, as long as I was healthy, they were fine with it.
Yeah, well, things have changed quite a bit, and when I read that it was your 23rd birthday, I was just reflecting and thinking that you probably were born a few months after I became vegan.
Ah, that's a funny coincidence.
And things have changed quite a bit since, you know, I made that decision, but actually it was back in high school for me, too, that a friend of mine mentioned being vegetarian and the light went on, but it wasn't until I was 30 that I actually became a vegan, and the journey has been really fun for me. You know, we didn't have a lot of products available at the time, but there was soy milk, there was tofu, and I had this paperback of The Joy of Cooking, which was not a vegetarian cookbook at all, but I was in there all the time just creating new recipes. That was like my platform. And but now it's just so easy because there are so many great cookbooks out there. And, you know, I was reading your vegan desserts cookbook, your second book, and it's brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
You are a phenomenal writer, a wonderful photographer, and your recipes are beautiful.
Oh, I really appreciate that. I've really taken a lot of time to hone the photography skills especially, so
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to be able to share that in this latest book.
Now, is that something you've done on your own, or have you had some help with the photography?
Well, I started learning photography, just picking up a camera, you know, shooting away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now taking classes. It's my major, but the photography is online in all of my books, my blog, and I do freelance photography now, too.
Yeah, it's great. Well, it's so important, and, you know, I know that photographs in cookbooks, it is expensive, and a lot of publishers don't want to do that, but it makes the biggest difference in how much you're going to really use the book. I think there's a picture of every recipe in here.
Yeah, it's a big deal for me because, personally, I'm a very visual learner, and if I don't know the way that something is supposed to look,
mm-hmm.
I really can't imagine making it or eating it.
Right. Well, gorgeous stuff in here. I wanted to pick out what my favorites are.
Oh, and, I can't wait to hear.
Well, I do a lot of cooking. And so one of the things I liked about this, and I've seen, I'm trying to estimate now how many vegan dessert cookbooks I have and I have looked at, because there's a lot now, which is delightful.
Yeah, it's amazing. When I first started writing recipes, there were like two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are tons.
But yours is very, very creative, very unique. And, okay, so my favorites, I think it was mostly from a visual
mm-hmm.
is the watermelon bomb.
Oh, yeah, that's a big favorite over here, too.
Oh, gosh, it is so adorable, so beautiful, and I'm sure it's delicious.
It's one of my favorites.
It just tickled me. I mean, I've always liked, personally myself, making cakes that look like things, some for kids, like cartoons and things, and so I like making art out of food. And then the other one, maybe you can guess, but I love the pumpkin cookies.
Oh, of course, another shaped one.
They look just like little pumpkins. And I love that you use the little pepita seed as the pumpkin stem.
Yeah, it took a lot of work to get a dough that would hold its shape and still taste like pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of pumpkin plops. It would melt in the oven.
Did you do most of these at home? The preparation for most of your recipes?
Oh yeah, it's all just my home kitchen. I photograph them on the kitchen table. Nothing fancy.
Yeah, but you're in college now.
I'm actually taking courses online, so I'm still home.
Oh, you know,
the beauty of that.
That was the other thing when I was reading this cookbook and thinking about your age and my age. Not that I'm concerned about age, but I was just reflecting and thinking how things have really changed. And I just wonder how do I want to say this? I was just wondering what my life would have been like if I had had all of what's available today when I was younger.
I feel so lucky to be alive in this time. I mean, it's like the age of the vegan, and technology makes the whole world more accessible. It's amazing.
It really is. You know, we can focus on things that are very unpleasant, but at the same time, there are things that are really amazing going on right now. And so that's, I was like rejoicing at the same time, thinking, gosh, there's just so many great things going on, and we're like evolving at an incredible pace.
Absolutely. Things are getting better. I mean, it's never going to be perfect. There's a lot going wrong, but things are getting better on the whole.
Well, I just want to say that I had these thoughts looking at all the beautiful dessert pictures in your book.
I'm grateful for that.
It just exuded just such happy, positive, lovely things.
Yeah, and that's what I want to share. I mean, it'd be easy to dwell on the bad things and the things that we don't have yet, but have a dessert. Things are okay,
yeah.
You know?
The other thing that I like what you've done in here is, because not many people do this, but using egg replacer as egg whites in a number of different recipes, I mean, that takes a bit of courage, and you've done it quite well in here.
Yeah, I was really hesitant to share those recipes because I don't like calling for specific brand name ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people were just dying to know about the meringues.
Yep.
And I figure it's better to let everyone know and give them that technology, if you will, and let them do what they will. If they want to buy the ingredients, great. If they don't, there are more recipes in the book. There are not many that call for that. I think it's just really neat to have a vegan meringue.
Oh, absolutely. I turned vegan in 1988, and then I moved to France in 1992. So I was kind of a newbie vegan and living in a culture that was not very vegan-friendly at the time, although it's changed quite a bit over the decades. And
I imagine that would be tough.
Well, and yes and no, because they really appreciate fresh food and fresh produce, so there was lots of great vegetables and fruits around, and people knew how to prepare them. And you could find in the health food stores all the things I needed, except a few things, and one of them was energy egg replacer. And so I used to buy it in the States and bring it with me back to France, and I would enjoy making a lemon meringue pie and looking at the very dumbfounded, quizzical looks of my new French friends who weren't vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, so it is a great product. Okay,
yeah,
so
excuse
me, no, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's one of the very few brand name egg replacers that I will still buy.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise I don't go out of my way to replace eggs. I just never learned to bake with them.
Which is a very, very good point. So many people that bake think that they're so essential and don't realize that they're not.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's just a whole different way of looking at baking.
Yeah, I'm sure many people have looked at you and said, how do you bake without eggs?
One of the most common questions.
Mm-hmm. I have a chemical background, and so I have that chemistry understanding, and I appreciate that you kind of talked about the alchemy of cooking in your book a little bit, but there are different foods, plant foods, that can replace different properties of the egg. There's not one ingredient that will do everything that the egg does, because it is a pretty amazing food.
Yeah. I'm convinced that there are vegan replacements for absolutely everything out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't figured it out yet, we will.
Absolutely. Without toxic chemicals, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess my favorite of all of them is the amazing flaxseed.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, versatile ingredient.
And
I like that best when I'm replacing eggs.
Yeah, me too. I try and put it in everything just because I know it's so good for me.
Mm. That and chia seeds, right there with you.
Yeah, you know, I haven't gotten into chia seeds just because they're not as readily available and they tend to be expensive. But
What? I order them in bulk, so I just throw them into everything once I have them.
Oh, now, are they a little different than flax seeds?
Only slightly in that you can eat them whole and they're more easily digestible that way.
Mm.
And when you soak them in water, they become a gel, which makes really fun pudding. It's one of the more popular things to do with them.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, surprisingly great, because it looks kind of weird, but it's good.
Yeah, I've tried some a few times that just the gel itself, and it was not very appealing, but I imagine it could really lend a very nice texture to different things.
Yeah, it can be a really great binder.
And I imagine it's just like if you were wanted to eat just plain egg whites, that wouldn't be appealing either.
Yeah, oof. Would not recommend that.
On many levels.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you working on a new cookbook?
I am. I am just about done with Vegan a la Mode.
Mm-hmm.
Over 100 vegan ice cream recipes.
And what are the bases of the ice creams different? Or they
They're
tend to be the
different.
Same? All different.
I have some traditional flavors in there so that everyone's happy. I mean, I've got plenty of chocolate and vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some crazy things like a Bloody Mary sorbet.
Ooh.
And what else?
Mm.
Matcha and a zuki bean. You know, unusual combinations that you're not going to find in the stores.
Right. I believe it because this book that I'm looking at is pretty, pretty creative. And the basis for the ice creams, are you using coconut milk or cashews, a mixture of things?
It's all different, and I use a lot of blends of different milks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of coconut milk, and I leave it pretty open-ended. I suggest non-dairy milk, which can basically include anything that isn't rice milk. That's the only thing I've had bad results with.
Right. Now, I'm looking on your blog, which is
bittersweetblog.com.
Right, bittersweet. Okay, I'm looking at bittersweetblog.wordpress.com, but bittersweetblog.
It goes to the same place.
Excuse me?
It all goes to the same place.
Oh, okay.
Bittersweetblog.com, bittersweetblog.wordpress.com.
Very good. Well, you're not just doing desserts. You're doing savory foods, too.
Yeah, I gotta eat, too. I mean, I'm cooking, so I might as well blog about that.
Yeah. Well, there's some beautiful things here, too. Are you going to do a non-dessert vegan cookbook after the ice cream?
I'd definitely like to. It's just harder to find the right niche, because I don't want to be another vegan cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
I want to offer something different, and I don't think I'm quite ready to yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, you'll know when the right time is.
Yeah, I still have plenty of other dessert book plans, though, so stay tuned. There's more on the way.
Yeah, the funny thing is, the people that don't eat this way, when you tell them you're a vegan, all of a sudden many of them go blank and can't imagine what you eat. And yet the variations, the recipes are infinite.
Yeah. I feel like going vegan really opened up my palate more than anything else. I was such a picky eater. I basically subsisted on ramen noodles and hot dogs as a kid. And going vegan, it forced me to think about what was there left to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much I had never tried or dreamed of trying.
Yeah,
so
I'm
grateful for going vegan.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
I eat better now than ever.
You bring up a good point, because I know a lot of teenagers get the idea to eat vegetarian because they don't like what it's doing to the environment, they don't like what it's doing to animals, they're not really thinking about their health.
Mm-hmm.
But kids are picky eaters, and they don't like vegetables. And so, you know, I'm happy to hear that, you know, you went a route of eating better and expanding your horizons and your palate because of other motivations. And I hope that's a good incentive for a lot of young people.
Yeah, it just kind of happened by accident for me.
Well, you were definitely meant to do this sort of thing, I think.
I think so. I'm really enjoying it, and I don't see any end to the recipe writing and photographing and all this.
Now, outside of cooking, when you went vegetarian and now, are you feeling strongly about any particular cause behind eating plant-based foods?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, are you driven by factory farming, the environment, health?
Yeah, it's more about the animals and the mistreatments, factory farms. That is a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was my main motivation.
Are there any traditional foods that you had as a youngster that you miss or you're thinking about maybe you can recreate?
I feel like I've basically gotten them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was big on cheese and ravioli, and I know that that's a big reason why a lot of people say they could never be vegan, but we have amazing cheese now. Are you kidding?
I know. We like to make a lot of nut cheeses at home. That's my favorite.
I love cashew cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. You know, I wish... I don't know. Is there anywhere in this country where we go grow cashews, or are they all imported?
I think they're all imported.
Yeah. Such an amazing
nut. It's a tropical plant.
Mm-hmm. The fruit itself is really disgusting. I don't know if you've ever seen the cashew fruit, but the nut is just...
In pictures, not in person.
Yeah. And you talk in your book, there was a little story about how when your family would go out to restaurants, you didn't order the desserts very often.
Yeah.
And you said it was because they weren't very good?
Well, compared to what we would make at home, even the simple things, we'd make chocolate cookies or just a yellow cake.
Mm-hmm.
It would still be so much better than the mass-produced stuff with the neon frosting and, I don't even know. There was no point to store-bought desserts to me.
So you had a sophisticated palate at a very young age. And your whole family
well, in
did.
In some ways. We were just brought up on real food.
Mm-hmm. I give your family a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I can't say it was always healthy food, but real food.
It was real food. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But even that, even meats and dairy products, when they are minimally processed, are better choices than some of the crazy manufactured foods that are out there today.
Yeah, there is some scary, plastic radioactive edibles out there. I don't know what they're trying to tell us as food.
Aside from cookbooks and photography, do you have any other projects that you're working on or you're thinking about?
Well, in the meantime, I work part-time at a restaurant. It's called Health in a Hurry. It's here in Fairfield, Connecticut. I've worked there. It's been my first job since I was 16.
Oh.
Still there.
What restaurant is this?
I'm sorry?
What is it called?
Health in a Hurry.
Health in a Hurry.
We're a tiny little place hidden behind a building complex, and, you know, it's just wonderful. It's a whole welcoming community, and you can try samples of absolutely everything we have on hand.
Mm.
We'll chat you up for hours if you let us. You know, it's just so friendly and comforting, and it's really wholesome, good food.
It's a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's mostly to-go stuff, but
mm-hmm.
we also serve hot soup, muffins, baked goods. I take care of the baked goods most of the time. You know, it's a great place, and I love it. And Sue, the chef and owner, is the sweetest person I've ever met. She is my best friend.
We need more of those everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's so helpful. She'll guide you through everything that we have, and if you're new to being a vegan or you have new dietary restrictions, she'll give you plenty of advice. She's very wise.
Were there any people or cookbook authors that inspired you when you were getting started?
Issa, of course, is
mm-hmm.
like the godmother of vegan cuisine, so I've looked up to her. But other than that, I can't think of any specific names.
Okay. Well, I was just curious. Sometimes,
I found a lot of inspiration in non-vegan cooking, just thinking, how could I make it vegan?
Yeah, I've gone that route mostly myself. Especially, you know, I mentioned before I was living in France, and I wasn't eating any of the food because I was a vegan. But I looked at everything.
Yeah, there's a lot to be learned from what's around us.
From looking. Mm-hmm. And more restaurants over there care about presentation. You could be in the simplest dive, and the food was always beautifully presented. So there was a lot to look at and a lot to learn.
Yeah, we eat with our eyes, and that's why I find the styling and the photography so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Well, beautiful. Okay, Hannah Kaminsky, I want to thank you for joining me on It's All About Food and encourage listeners to go to hannahkaminsky.com. That's H's on both sides. So let's see, two H's, two A's, and two N's in Hannah. I like that.
Yes, palindrome. Easy to remember.
And check out the Bittersweet blog. It's really beautiful, beautiful pictures, great writing, great stories, and great recipes. So all the best to you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah. I hope to meet you sometime, and maybe you can make me some treat.
I'd love that.
Okay. Take care.
You too.
I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food, and we're going to take a short break and be back with Chef Alan Rodinger. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me in our second part of the show today. And one of the things that I'm always talking about is encouraging people to find their kitchen. And in New York City, I know it's especially hard. There are many people that have incredibly gorgeous kitchens. I've been in so many of them. All the greatest houseware pots and pans that have never been used. It's true. Why is that? Anyway, I'm going to bring on my friend, Chef Alan Rodinger, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and what his plans are to help. But just a little briefly about Alan, he's been a private chef for over 28 years, serving a broad spectrum of high-profile clients, from entertainers to presidents. A world traveler, he absorbed elements from many cuisines to synthesize a unique, creative, personal style. Alan's first cookbook, Omega 3 Cuisine, showcases his ability to bring health and flavor together, offering a wide range of dishes that are simultaneously exotic and accessible to the home cook. In Speed Vegan, Alan has kept flavor and health, but expanded these parameters to include quick, easy, and strictly plant-based. Welcome, Alan Rodinger, to It's All About Food. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm super fine, Karen. How are you?
Very
Long time,
good.
Huh?
I know.
Happy New Year.
Life just goes on.
Thank God.
Yes, and you just keep coming up with new ways to eat my favorite foods.
Well, plants, right?
Plants.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but I mean, since we last spoke, I've been teaching cooking classes, and you'd be surprised how many people sign up that are not vegan, not interested in being vegan, but they still want to know, and it's in the news.
They want to know about vegan cooking, or just want to know about cooking?
No, they want to know how do you do vegan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
And I mean, maybe they have a family member that they got to deal with every time there's a party at their house, and they want to make something that's for them, and they don't know how, or they're just, I think really at the core, people are curious because it's growing, you know. Now that Clinton's a vegan, and I mean, he used to be a junk food addict, and so what is it? What's up with that? And it's exciting.
You're in Colorado.
Yeah.
And so, if people wanted to take a class with you, how would they know about it?
Well, that's a good question, because the way I've done it so far is I find somebody who's a candidate for letting me use their kitchen, somebody who has a big kitchen, accommodate a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and then send out an email to everybody that they know and everybody that I know in the area. And we get a fantastic response. I mean, we had like 45 people in this one kitchen one time.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it went on for 2 hours, and people were just like, ooh, you know. It was exciting. It was fun. I put pictures up on my blog one time about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if people are interested in having a cooking class at their house and they live in the area, I'm in the Colorado Springs area, but Denver is good for me, Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it works, I'll even go to Fort Collins. It's a bit of a clip, but I'd be happy to go. What they can do is they can go to my website, www.alanroettinger, A-L-A-N-R-O-E-T-T-I-N-G-E-R, and send me an email. Or they could just write to Alan, A-L-A-N, at alanroettinger.com. And let me know they're interested and, you know, give me their contact information. I'll call them. That'd be exciting.
So what are some of the things that you make during these cooking classes?
Well, I usually do something out of Speed Vegan because then they can actually buy the book and have all the recipes.
Clever.
But I'd be willing, if they had a subject matter that they wanted, you know, we really want to learn how to do blank, you know, I'd be happy to design the class around that so that they get what they want. I'm sure they'd be happy with it.
And do people get to do things hands-on, or are they just watching?
It's a watching thing. I mean, if they have access to some kind of a teaching facility where they can, you know, I'd be happy to do that too. In fact, I'm working on plans for that. But no, when you have somebody's kitchen, it's pretty much they sit and they watch and they take notes and then
now,
they buy my books.
Have you gotten feedback from people that have come to the classes? And the reason why I'm asking is we know people love to watch food shows. They love to watch food being prepared.
Yeah.
But then do they actually go and do it themselves?
Well, funny you should ask, because I'm working on a webinar now that will elicit that from people, you know, and it'll give people confidence to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, like you say, and you would be surprised how many of my clients, you know, the very, very wealthy people, have kitchens just like you described. Everything there.
Yes.
And they're eating out.
Yep.
or they have a chef. But usually, you know, the people just, you know, and not in the 1%, but maybe up in the upper 99%, they have a beautiful kitchen, brand new, you know, All clad
and Le Creuset, all the stuff that I want.
They research all the best and they buy it, but they never use it. I mean, literally never use it.
I know,
But my target audience is really not just those people, but everyone. Because you know that the best food and the healthiest food is always going to be the food you make at home.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's your home or somebody else's home, but that's where you know what's going into it and what is not going into it. And you know it's clean because you're seeing it, you know, and you know whose hands are in it.
Yeah.
And I don't get, you know, I don't want to put down restaurants, but, you know.
There's a tremendous leap of faith that so many people do just blindly. You know, we have some pretty strict laws here in New York City, and I don't know how they compare with the rest of the United States. And I recently took the food handling certificate test, and it's a 15-chapter course. You can take it online, and then there's a test, and you need to have it if you want to supervise any food establishment like a restaurant or if you want to manufacture food. And I'm actually thinking of manufacturing food, and so I took the course. But what I learned is all the regulations that restaurants have to comply to in order to meet the health department standards, and I find it so hard to believe that they meet all of these regulations. And it was scary.
Yeah, you wonder how many football game tickets are given out to the self-inspectors.
Well, you know, the first thing that they say in this course is that the health inspectors are not allowed to accept any bribes.
Well, duh. and neither are congressmen.
And anyway, so, yeah, we really put a lot of trust into the handling of the food that we eat in restaurants.
Yeah, that's why I like to eat at home.
In conclusion.
Number one, I get better food at home.
Absolutely.
And it's cheaper.
Yep.
And it's more fun for me, anyway. I enjoy cooking. And that's what I hope that I can convey to people or instill in people, really, by example and by encouragement, is that, you know, you too can do this. It's not that hard. I mean, you're not going to be, you know, a celebrity chef creating these, you know, very impressive dishes that, you know, stop people in their tracks. But you could make really tasty, really good, very healthy plant-based food in your house very easily. And that's the thrust of my webinars, just getting a few basic skills, giving people a good idea, you know, and busting the protein myth for people that are just starting or transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be something that, you know, for those people who are on the listening to the show who are vegan and have friends or family who are not, but just starting to soften up to the idea. There's a 6-segment cooking series that I'm doing that they could offer them as a gift. You know, here, try this. You know, let them go on their own and see where they end up. And I think at the very least, I mean, you know, like that Meatless Monday thing. If you just eat one meal a week that isn't like got a big slab of beef there, you know, you just try it. You know, that's what I did. I just tried it, and I tried it, and after 3 days, I felt so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone back, you know. So I think that, and then there are people who can't just jump in. They just don't have it in them to just go, okay, I'm going to go, you know, eschew it all and try it. But maybe one day a week or more plant-based dishes in their meal, you know, and greater quantity perhaps than the meat, try that and see how that feels.
It's all about moving the bar.
Exactly. And in a non-judgmental way, and I lack the gene for converting people, and I'm not out to hammer on someone's, you know, and I don't go from the, I like the forks and knives approach.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get into the animal cruelty. I think I leave that to PETA and people that are really good at that. To me, it's, you know, how about cruelty to yourself? Fix that first.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, take it from there.
Well, I like the concept of the occasional vegan. It's all about moving the bar, like I just said, because the bar, and the bar, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the food continuum, where there's one end where people are eating only animal foods, flesh and bodily fluids, meat and cheese and fish, and then the other end of the spectrum is like breatharian. Or, you know,
I haven't tried that one.
Or all fruit or something. And, you know, in the middle, there are the omnivores and then vegetarians and pescatarians and vegans and healthier vegans, et cetera. But we definitely need to change the focus and get people more interested in fruits and vegetables. We need to change the way we think about food. It's happening. It's slow. But it's happening, and people definitely need to get some new skills because we've lost the food preparing skills that were in our DNA.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, mentioning the word omnivore, human beings by nature are omnivorous. But that means we can eat any number of things that are edible.
Mm-hmm.
We have a choice, which, for example, lions don't have. They can only eat meat, and they have to actually chase it down and eat it in order to be healthy. The ones you see in the zoo just look so miserable, you know. They get fed and they eat it, but they're really not happy with it. A lion needs to chase it down and kill it and eat it on the spot.
Mm.
We have actually a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the implications of that are is that we can go whichever way we want. And then instead of thinking, I have to eat this, think, what are my choices? And if you can get away from isolating protein to animal flesh, then you can see, okay, well, you know, I'm getting my protein in this plant, but I'm also getting phytonutrients and micronutrients of all kinds and antioxidants and all this other stuff that I also need that I will not get from that steak.
And things we haven't even discovered yet.
Exactly.
They're all in plants. You know, the semantics sometimes plays a role, and somebody recently said to me, we were going to meet somewhere, and this person said, well, why don't you choose, since you have dietary restrictions, why don't you choose where we're going to eat? And I don't have dietary restrictions. I'm not restricted at all. I feel like I have variety and abundance, and it's a choice. I'm not restricted, but it was just interesting that
it's a nice offer on their part because not too long ago, my wife took me to her office Christmas party, and there was not one single item on the menu that I could eat. Not one. I finally had, I'm going to have the
water.
The onion rings, and then I got them and I started eating them, and I said, oh, you know what, this is probably fried and really ugly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah.
But that's what you get when you go out. A lot of these places, especially the kind of places that office parties happen at, you know, they're sports bars, and they just don't have anything for somebody who wants to eat. Let's not even call it vegan. Let's call it clean.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to call in advance to where you're going and find out what they're going to have or what they might have, or just if you know it's hopeless, eat in advance and don't plan on eating.
That's what I do. Yeah, I ate before I went, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah. Where
again,
you said,
eat at home. That's my mantra, you know? Learn
yes,
to cook
eat
and
home.
Eat at home.
Well,
and I'm passionate about that because I think that the more I can spread that message, you know, that in itself is like there's your healthcare plan, you know. Healthcare is my responsibility,
absolutely.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And if other people can do this, just think how much it's going to save them, not just in money, but in suffering.
Oh, absolutely. My major motivation behind this diet is to reduce pain and suffering, not just pain and suffering of the animals that I'm not eating and killing, but human pain and suffering and planetary pain and suffering.
It doesn't really take that much. I mean, this is the other point I try to make, and I'm going to make this point in my webinar, really. It's not like you have to go to school. You know, it's really quite simple. You know, if you want to go and learn more skills and learn more fancy stuff, fine. But in order to feed yourself and your family, it is not that hard. It's very simple, and it's so enjoyable. If you just gain a few basic skills, and I'm going to teach those in the very first webinar, you can really just take off. And then every day you're going to discover new things. I've been cooking professionally for over 30 years now. And I'm still coming across a vegetable, a fruit, something that I had never seen before.
Absolutely.
How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just stick to iceberg lettuce and mayonnaise and ham and white bread, I mean, you know, okay, fine, but, you know.
There's a lot
there's,
more
there's
out there.
There's a lot of studies out there that show how you end up bad.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for it, because if you can really enjoy learning to cook, cooking things, and treating people, you know, and inviting your family to come in and sit down at the meal that you prepared.
Oh, that's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
It's
a thrill for me.
We frequently host events at home and cook for days.
Oh, can I tell you something? I did a Christmas dinner. You know, I've been kind of like, my family is not on a vegan diet, and neither is my extended family. So last Christmas, not this one, but the one before, you know, I did the whole turkey and the whole thing, and then I made myself a big Thai sort of salad. It was, and people were looking longingly at me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you having, and why are you having that? But this year, I just said, you know what? The hell with it. I'm going to make something that I can eat every bite of.
Yes.
And I made a four-course meal, and my extended family came. Both my mother and my mother-in-law were there. And
where's the turkey?
They didn't. The V word didn't come up. The turkey word didn't come
up.
Everybody, it was just, you know, like when you serve something, and all of a sudden this conversation stops because people are slurping it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I love.
Yeah, well, good
and
for you.
And there were no complaints. In fact, everybody was thrilled with it. So I thought, okay, here you go.
Well,
I'm done.
I support that. I'm at a point where I could not prepare flesh for anyone, and I believe if you make a beautiful meal and it looks appealing to you and you know it's delicious and you want to offer it to people, that's the way to go.
Yeah, well, it works in a situation like that. My son, you know, he's still stuck on the meat paradigm, and it's
but if it's just one meal that you're inviting people
exactly
over,
that's my point. Yeah,
you're not telling them to go vegetarian, but
no
you're just opening the door a little
it's
bit
a treat. Yeah, it's just a treat.
Mm-hmm. And who knows, you plant seeds, but you're not into proselytizing. I know.
No, I'm not into proselytizing, but I am very much in favor of demonstrating how good it can be.
How good it can be.
Yeah, I mean, how sweet it is. Where is the proselytizing in that? I mean, it's just like, hey, try this. You're going to love it. You know, and if they only try it once and never come back, well, hey, it's not my health, it's theirs. But I've seen it happen where people just kind of go, wow. In fact, there was a client I worked for last year. He was an ambassador to China, really elegant gentleman. And I was making, you know, they were meat eaters, but I would always make the meat portion really small and the vegetables really big, you know, because they wanted to eat healthy.
Mm.
And this is how I respond. And they were cool with it. And then about the fourth or fifth day that I was there, in the kitchen, he was standing there with his fiance, who were going to get married. And he said, "You know, darling, I could be vegetarian."
Oh.
And she said, "What?"
Mm.
Yeah, well, you know, with the food we've been having is perfectly delicious.
Mm.
There's no reason why. I mean, I don't care.
Mm.
It's good. Why do I care? You know, he was, and he meant it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he wasn't saying it for my benefit. He was just commenting. So there you go.
Ah.
If it's good, they will come.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if you hammer their heads, they might go, "Oh, the poor animals," and then maybe one of them will, their heart will soften for the, you know, but. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. If I could, I would cook for the entire planet.
There's a challenge. Okay, I hadn't thought of that.
I can't do that, though, because I know that a lot more people would eat vegetarian and vegan if people were cooking for them.
I bet you 30% of the people on this planet would eat if it was free.
Oh, there you go.
If somebody made them any food. I mean, this is serious. There are a lot of people out there that are really hungry, and they really don't care what it
what
is.
What it is.
No.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I would like to cook for the entire... I'd like to teach the... or something like that.
Yeah, I was already going there.
But we can't do that. So we do what we do, and we talk about food and get excited about it and put recipes on our websites and do a webinar.
And we can teach the people who have access to food a way to cook and eat that is delicious and produces health and doesn't ruin it. You know, doesn't make you tired and fat and slow and sick.
So let's. I want to just talk a little bit about this webinar little bit more. So there are about 15 to 20 minutes. You're going to be.
Yeah. Well, the people should go to. By the way, before we get off, they should go to occasionalvegan.com right away and register. It's a free. There's a free introductory kind of webinar that's going to. And there, I'm going to give. There's going to be a free gift in there. I'm going to give. I think they're going to be happy with. And I'm going to talk about this 6-part series. That I hope people will sign up for because I think they'll really enjoy it and will benefit them. But they can just go register anytime now, get on it, and I think they'll really enjoy it.
And where are you going to be doing this? Is this going to be a live thing where people are watching while you're doing it?
Well, it'll be we'll be live. We've actually got it's good. They're going to be still shots. The video is going to be. For that 6-part series where I'm going to actually show people knife skills and the basic cooking methods, the ones that actually preserve the health benefits of food rather than destroying it. I'm going to go into the good fats versus bad fats. I'm going to have a whole segment on salads and raw food and the importance of that and how to the very different kinds of salads and dressings. I'm going to do one about the animal protein myth, you know, and getting that protein in ways that are so much more interesting to eat than, I mean, okay, so you know what it means to eat meat. You put a chunk of thing in your mouth, and you chew it for 5 seconds, and you get all this juicy, whatever you think is good in there, and then for 25 to 30 seconds, you're just chewing it so you can swallow it because the flavor's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never get that with a fruit or a vegetable. You get flavor gushing out of it. Until you decide it's chewed up enough to swallow, it's still coming out.
I haven't had meat for so long that I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, but you remember what it was like. The thrill is gone, but you can't spit it out, and you can't swallow it until it's chewed up enough.
Mm.
You know, unless you want to choke.
Okay.
So there's that. Yeah, and then I'm actually going to do a whole segment on shopping. Because a lot of people don't realize. I mean, they go to Safeway or they go to whatever the supermarket is, and that's where they go. And some people may go to a health food store. But, you know, there's so many other options. There's an Indian store, there's a Middle Eastern store, there's an Asian store, and I have all these in Colorado Springs.
Are you going to go to the stores in the webinar?
I'm going to go there. I'm going to have somebody follow me with a video camera, and we're going to get some good shots and explain a few things and just open up the world that's out there of variety.
Right.
And then, based on, and by the way, each segment at the end, there'll be I'll demonstrate a recipe that basically incorporates all the skills or all the facts that we've covered at the beginning, so they can see how that ends up. And the one I'm going to do for the shopping segment, I don't even know what it's going to be, because that's the way I like to do it. I like to go into the store first and see what looks good, and then decide what I'm going to make.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's kind of
you're
a little
cooked,
of both,
you know,
for me. Like, I have an idea, but if I don't find what supports my idea, then, you know, there's flexibility.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why my favorite clients are the ones that just trust me. They don't even care. They just want to come in at mealtime, sit down, and, oh, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And there are some that they want to know in advance what the menu is going to be, and they want to know in advance, and they want to, or they want to ask you, for, you know, I want stroganoff or something or other. They have it in their head, you know? You know. And then you have to find out, okay, what are the ingredients? Okay, you got to go find them. And sometimes you get to the store, and the stuff to make what they want is all dead and,
yeah,
and limp.
Yeah.
But right next to it is something that's just bursting with life that just came in. But you can't do it because they want the other thing. So it ruins it for them, and it ruins it for you. I much prefer those clients that just say, you know what?
Make what you think is best.
Make it healthy, make it good, and they trust you, and then you can wow them with something that actually is good.
Hmm.
So that's my approach to shopping, and I'm hoping that it'll be well-received. I think people will really enjoy it.
The shopping thing is really an interesting thing, yeah, and it really depends on where you live. But I imagine more and more in the United States, there are more ethnicities in more communities and bringing in more ethnic stores.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blows my mind. So, you know, in New York City, the greatest city in the world, you know, we have everything.
Yeah.
And Chinatown is just crazy. And we have two, one in Queens and one in Manhattan. And they're huge, and they're busting with things that Americans that aren't Chinese don't know anything about. There's a whole world of plants and mushrooms and herbs, and it's, I always feel like I'm on a vacation when I go there, because, like, I've traveled somewhere, because it's so amazing. And then these Indian stores that have beans and spices and foods, produce that I don't
dozens
know what to do with.
Of lentils.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And Middle Eastern stores, you know, and Mexican.
There's just so many.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I mean, I used to think, okay, well, L.A., they have it. In New York, they have it. San Francisco, they have it. But Colorado Springs, they have Korean markets. They have, and this is, we're talking about 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about a major metropolis. So I would, you know, this is what I'm going to suggest in that segment is, you know, get to know your community. See, you know, look up ethnic food. I mean, just try to figure out what's available to you and go there.
Just go to the store and look around to start.
Try
with.
It.
You don't even have to buy anything. It's just so amazing to go and, like, what is this stuff?
For me, it's like going back to, you know, my childhood in Mexico, when you go to the open-air market and you can smell the produce. It's not, like, kind of, like, sanitized. You know, you can actually smell the herbs, and it's fantastic.
Well, when I go to some of these Chinese markets, the smell is not always very pleasant, because there's a lot
They're
of fish.
They're heavy into the pigs.
Well, it's the fish that really stinks. A lot of stinky fish.
Yeah.
But then in some of these other, you can go into some of their herbal markets that sell herbal remedies and things.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, the smell in there is incredible.
Yeah. Licorice and ginseng and...
Yeah, just fresh. It just feels mind-clearing smells. Okay, we just have a few minutes left. So I imagine there's a cost for some of these webinars.
Well, the one that I'm inviting people to today
is free.
On occasionalvegan.com is free.
Okay.
And they'll come away with...
with information.
Well, they're going to come up with some recipes. They're going to watch something being prepared. They're going to get some information. And the
will there be some series, interaction? Will they be able to ask questions during the program? Or
we'll see if that works. We're going to have an interactive.
Is it watch when they want to, or
I've got,
is it a
I've got people helping me with this, and I'm not sure the answer to that question.
Okay.
But I hope so.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, and the other ones I'm actually going to because it's the first time I'm going to film them and you know, prepare them, I'm going to take the feedback that I get from the people who watch that for the first time
and make it better
for future webinars.
Right.
So they're going to get a really good deal. I mean, I figure, you know, normally in a class, people would pay $50 a person, and, you know, I get like 30 or 40 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you break it down, it's basically a class would be $50.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to add up six of these, that would be like $300, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm giving the whole thing for $97.
Whoa.
So it really brings the cost down. And makes it possible for somebody to maybe give that as a gift to their niece or nephew or somebody.
Yeah, very nice.
You know, whatever. So that's the idea. I want to see. My goal is to make it accessible. I want people to stop poisoning themselves at fast food restaurants and cook and eat at home. It's so much more enjoyable.
Well,
so much better.
I agree. Let's get people into the first. They have to find out where they are, and then what to do in them. So stay tuned and check out, is it occasionalvegan.com?
Occasional, just the word, occasional, O-C-C-A-S-I-O-N, what is it? Occasional.
Vegan.com.
.com,
very good. Alan, a pleasure, and one day, my friend, we will actually meet.
Yeah, that would be great.
And we will eat. Meet and eat.
Meet and eat.
Yes,
eating
but,
without eating is cheating.
But until then... all the best to you, and looking forward to this webinar. I'll definitely check it out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan Runiger. And
great.
I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for joining me today, and have a very, very delicious week. Find that kitchen. Bye-bye.